Hello and welcome back. I'm Nelson Fernandez and we are discussing international business environment. Now we are on chapter 4 where we talk about foreign direct investment, or popularly known as FDIs. So let's understand FDIs with Indian scenario and FDI, and what are FDIs. Now what are the learning objectives today? The learning objectives are to understand the concept of foreign direct investments or FDIs, to learn about the various theories or basis behind the FDIs, to know about various factors responsible for attracting the FDIs, and to know more about FDI scenario in India. Now there is an opening case in your books, if you see, which talks about the safe investment destination. FDI equity inflow in India crosses $500 billion. Now please take a careful look at this case, which gives you a brief about how FDIs have increased in India and which are the sectors where people have invested from abroad in India, because this they found a lot of potential and therefore they have invested in these particular sectors. Let's move ahead. Now before we move ahead, we have to understand what is an FDI. So what is an FDI? Now there are three major aspects of FDI to a host country. First of all, it is an investment by a foreign organization which brings in a lot of financial capital to a country. There is access provided by them, which is the export market, because a lot of FDIs which come in, which also expand the export market of the host country. And there is a technology development through the technology transfer which happens, which an FDI gets into. So let's understand further. Now what are these? Now FDI is basically a foreign direct investment which reflects the objectives of establishing a lasting interest by a resident enterprise in one economy, which is a direct investor, in the enterprise of economy of the resident. I'll give an example. Like for example, if we are sitting in India, if a person in Australia decides to invest money in India, now he's not investing money in Australia, but he's investing money in India. So that money which inflows for India is an FDI or a foreign direct investment. The direct and indirect ownership of 10% or more of the voting powers of an enterprise resident in one economy by an investor resident to another economy is evident for such a relationship. So basically an FDI would be where it has to be the ownership would be more than 10% or more than that. Now there are several ways in which a foreign corporate body or foreign individual can get into open an FDI or investment in India rather. Now one popular route is a dual route for approval for FDIs, which is one route which is automatic route which RBI gives, in which you can corporate can invest money with equity holding up to 51%. If it is more than 51%, then there is a government approval required. That route also is available. Basically this is done for large scale projects. So if it is a more than 15%, then there will be government approval required. Other methods, a non-resident Indian or an NRI or overseas corporate body to invest up to 100% in high priority sectors. Then there is increase in the foreign equity participation limits from 51% for existing companies. So if a company is already invested and he wants to increase his equity participation to the now current level of 51%, that is automatic. Then there are external commercial borrowings also which are available to you in the GDR and the ADR route. Now this is one definition which is given in your books. Is foreign direct investment is an investment made by a firm or individual in one country into the business interests located in another country. So that's what the example what I gave is, if a person staying in India or a company based in Australia decides to invest in India, they can invest in India through the foreign direct investment route. Now generally FDI takes place when an investor establishes foreign business operations or it acquires a foreign business assets in a foreign company. Now, foreign direct investment can be made in variety of ways. You can open a subsidiary or an associate company. That is one of the very common route people use. They open a subsidiary. Like for example, XYZ Corporation in Australia opens another subsidiary by similar name, or it can have a different name, or XYZ Holdings in India, such names. Acquiring or controlling interest in an existing foreign company, or using a merger or a joint venture. Lot of companies also have this merger route, where they merge two companies to form one company, or they establish a new company by itself by way of joint venture. When ABC company from Australia has a joint venture with XYZ company in India, and they both come together to form another company called PQR. So there's a new company which is formed in this kind of joint ventures. Now, types of foreign direct investments, there are various types. Now, it can be either a horizontal type. Now, in horizontal type, the investor establishes the same type of business operations in the foreign country as it operates in the home country. For example, if a company is into pharmaceutical, say finished formulations, so it will open a company in the foreign country with the same business or formulations. Or let's take an example of flavors. If the company is into food flavors, so it will open a company in the foreign country which will be manufacturing and selling flavors, food flavors. There could also be a vertical investment is one which different from the related business activities from the investor's main business are established or acquired. Now, this is basically an activity which is related. For example, we also talk about forward integration or backward integration. Like for example, if a ready-made garment manufacturer wants to open or have a vertical sort of investment in another country, foreign country, so either the garment investor can go backward integration, where he starts now manufacturing the textile cloth also. So that's an example of a vertical investment scenario. And there is a conglomerate investment, also FDIs, which is in this case, a company or an individual makes foreign investment in a business which is totally unrelated to the existing business in the home country. So in the home country, suppose they are into business of let's take the example of finished clothes or rather ready to wear garments. Now they altogether will start some business in some other segment which is altogether not related to them. So maybe they will start business in some transport, or maybe they will start business in some flavors, something which is not related to garments. Now FDI based on the product life cycle. Now, if you remember, we spoke about it in chapter 2, where we spoke about that when the product life cycle, we have various stages, where we have the initial stage, then we have the growth stage, then we have the stagnation stage, and then we have a decline. Now, once the product is becomes standardized in the growth state, and the market has accepted the product, the sale is growing. Now, this is the time the firm may intend to invest abroad and export from there to retain its monopoly powers. So the firm will try to venture out into new markets, into new places where they have easily availability of raw material, cheaper labor, cheaper raw material. And from there, it will try to export to various locations. It also will export to their home country. Then there is an elliptical basis or elliptical theory, which is an OLI theory also. Now this theory basically attempts to integrate a variety of thought, which is macroeconomics theory as well as the microeconomics theory. Now, something more about this theory. Now, there are three factors which we talk about, which is the O factor, L factor, and I factor. O factor is the benefit of ownership, where the corporation is owning a lot of knowledge, a lot of labor, a lot of manpower, and it is ready to invest that, and it doesn't lose anything out of it. Then there's a benefit of location which can be available to a particular organization, and there's a benefit of internalization. Now if you see this theory properly, the greater the benefit of O as well as I, if the organization has a benefit of advantage of O and I possessed by the company, the more the L advantage it can create. And similarly, if the ONI benefit is not that great, then it will show it should go for a domestic investment. Now, something more about the internalization theory. The organization expands into other markets, uses foreign direct investment to seek the balance between various markets and appropriates its earnings. Now, there are various types of FDIs based on this basis are resource seeking FDIs, which talk about resources. There's a market seeking FDIs, which is on the sales aspect, more sales. There's efficiency seeking FDIs, and there is a strategic asset seeking FDIs. Let's understand this one by one. Resource seeking FDIs. Now, the main purpose is to seek some natural resource or acquire some places where there is raw material easily available, there's manpower easily available at low cost. The classic example what is given over here is a Spanish organization setting up a plant in Australia to produce and re-export to Spain. So maybe there is a resource which is not easily available in Spain. So this company is seeking to invest in the form of FDI in Austria to take this product, manufacture this product or process this product and then re-export it to Spain. In this case, the investments are motivated by investors. Interest in accessing and exploiting natural resources. Now, such kind of investment generally aims to export a large share of the output, if not all, to the investor country. Therefore, they are expected to raise the exports of the host country. So that's why the host country may not mind, because their exports are automatically going open, and every country tries to increase their exports. Now, there are market seeking FDIs. Now, what are market seeking FDIs? Basically, to identify and make use of another new market and use them to earn profits for the organization's finished product. Now, in this case, the investor is normally motivated, and the interest is to basically serving the domestic and the regional market. Investment is done to produce for the local market. Now, for example, any food joint or any food selling global companies would invest money in a local market and establish a plant over there to be near to the customers and to sell their products locally. Then there are strategic asset seeking FDIs. Now, this type of investments are basically interest to acquire strategic assets like some brands or human capital or a distribution network and so on. Now, this will enable the firm to compete in the given market, take place, and normally this will be through mergers or acquisitions. So many times you'll find a lot of acquisitions happening where a foreign company acquires a particular brand. Like, for example, you find a lot of examples on the internet also, where you'll find the company has acquired a particular company or a brand to make itself strong in the local market. Okay. Now, there are also efficiency seeking FDIs. Now, this basically are to allocate the existing investment to achieve an efficient share in the international economic activity or to develop the capabilities of sourcing globally leading to economic uses of its available resources. So basically, when a company knows that it is already doing business globally and into different markets, but it wants to seek efficiency, this kind of FDIs are done. Seek efficiency. Now, this category of FDIs is particularly important for countries looking to integrate into the global economy and move in the value chain. Now, it is not only export oriented but also key to export diversification. Such kind of investments are difficult to attract and can become more than a source of capital. Now, let's understand some of the factors that are responsible for attracting FDIs. Now, there are input aspect factors which are related to your supply perspective, there are output aspect factors which are related to your demand perspective, and there are some decisive aspects which are government related factors. Now, input related factors, getting of technology. Now this is one of the key objectives regarding where FDIs are concerned, because there is a lot of technology which gets transferred also when FDI is actually taking place. So a lot of technology inflow happens with FDIs. Available use of available resources. Now there has to be available easy access to this available essential resources. If there is no availability of essential resources or not easy access to those resources, then there would be any FDIs for that particular segment or that particular industry of product. Distribution, we talk about supply chain, we talk about infrastructure. If there is no proper infrastructure given, then definitely the FDIs will not flow. Now MNCs normally will use their subsidies to move their supplies, and if they don't have the proper infrastructure or the proper logistic support, as we say, then the FDIs will not be attracted for then FDIs may not be getting attracted to this particular segment. The example what is given in your books is about the bottling plants of Coke and Pepsi. Now being giants abroad, they needed that infrastructure in India to come to India to and have a proper and easily available bottling plants. Cost of manufacturing, of course. Now if there is a low cost of production, only that is a time that FDIs may concern. Like for example, if we talk about India and China, we have easy availability of labor, cheap labor. Now that also that attracts a lot of FDIs, because if an industry is basically labor incentive, labor intensive, then definitely FDIs will try to pour in and utilize that aspect. Now let's understand the output related aspect or maybe the market related aspects. Now reaching to customer. Now key to success is to reach the customer at the right time and the right place. Now if the FDIs, if the companies are not able to reach to their customers, to their prospect customers, then that FDI cannot take place. So reaching the customers is one of the major aspect to any FDIs, because there has to be an increase in sale. Development and monitoring of new customers. It means new business has to be developed, because after some time your business will get stagnated. So you will need more business, you will need new customers to add to your revenue and to add to your profits. Now monitoring your competition, as this rightly say, that in war you need to be near to your enemy, you have to be close to your enemy. So it is with competition. Now if they are present in a particular market, they have the advantage of monitoring the competition. They have advantage of understanding what the competitors are doing. Hence they come up with a lot of FDIs. Now acquiring competitive advantages, which is using of brands, using of reputations and technology. Like for example, when the camera giants Nikon, Canon or Sony came into India, they had one of the major advantage of the brand which they had established in the world, and that is where there was the selling point. Let us look at the decisive aspect or government related aspects. Now government policies and priorities. Now till 1991 it did not give any scope, because till before 1991 we had a very closed economy, but the liberalization which took place in 1991 has supported a lot of free trade policies and has resulted in a lot of FDIs coming into India. Keeping trade restrictions at bay. Now organizations interact with government authorities, with governments, to ensure that they have less restrictions, less fewer trade restrictions, and business will only flourish where there are less fewer trade restrictions imposed. Providing financial benefits. Now normally this is seen as most of the companies will see it as a tax benefit or a tax break, but many governments do offer a tax benefit or a tax break for investments in their particular region or in their particular country. So it is seen as one of the most that most of the countries do offer fiscal incentives like tax holidays and so on, which attract a lot of FDIs. Now talking about FDI scenario in India, now the World Investment Report 2020 by UNCTAD said that India is the ninth largest reception of FDIs, and it's around $551 billion that has inflowed in 2019. Now this is amount increase. This is has increased from the previous year. In 2018, it was $42 million. In 2019, it is $51 billion, and it is also bound to increase. Now the government has also put various policy framework in place, which is ensuring that the whole process is transparent, predictable, and easily comprehensible. So this all these factors are put together are attracting more FDIs in India. Now, though we have lot of though FDIs are permitted in almost every business or every sector, there are certain sectors which FDIs are not permitted as of now, which are listed on your screen, which are lottery businesses, gambling businesses, cheat funds, nidhi companies, trading in transferable development rights, real estate businesses, and activity sectors not open to private sectors, such as this atomic energy. Now there's a list of FDI which can be invested, the percentage which can be invested in given in your textbooks. So I'll advise you to please go through that whole list to understand what is the which all places, which all industry or which all businesses FDI can be taken in. Now continuing with the FDI scenario in India, the FDI equity inflow in India stood at $30 billion in 2021. That was only between April 2020 to September 2020, and it also indicates that it is going to increase further. Now there are some of the sectors which it had increased equity inflow had come in was software and hardware sector, which attracted the highest FDI of around $17.55 billion, followed by service sector, which had around $2.25 billion, and so on. Now in 2021, between April and September, India received maximum FDI's equity inflow. Now these are the, some of the countries and the inflow which came in. First one was Singapore, which with $8.30 billion, USA with 7.12, Cayman Islands with $2.10 billion, Mauritius, Netherlands, and UK to follow behind it. Now here is a classic again closing case, which talks about the FDI scenario in 2021, which is going to be more than 2020. So I request you to please read through this closing case thoroughly. Now talking about FDIs again, India is in a very nice position where it can attract a lot of FDIs. So you can expect a lot of FDIs coming into India, into various businesses, which will only create more business revenue. It will create more employment, and definitely it will enhance the lifestyle of the people and the GDP of the country. So do take care of these FDIs. Thank you so much.